about the Levites. Those were the men, a number of thousands of them, who were responsible for carrying the tabernacle through the wilderness. Now, if you're free, do come along and we will be delighted to see you. And then, please remember, again, next Lord's Day here in the hall at 7:30, there will be the gospel meeting. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, to a few scriptures. You'll find the first one in the book of Exodus and in the 38th chapter. The book of Exodus, please, and chapter 38. And we're going to read just two verses. Exodus chapter 38 and verses 18 and 19. And the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. Just means the same size. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of copper 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters, and their fillets of silver. And all the pins of the tabernacle and of the court round about were of copper. Now, if you'll turn, please, to Luke's Gospel and to the 13th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, please. And we will read just a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Now, a final reading in the book of the Revelation, please. That's the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. And it is a very familiar portion indeed, a very familiar verse that we are going to read. Revelation chapter 3, please, and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Now the Lord will bless, we know, this public reading from his precious word. As you will have realized, this past week we have been speaking concerning this beautiful tabernacle that we have, at least maybe my model's not so beautiful, but the tabernacle itself was a beautiful structure and was exceedingly valuable from a monetary point of view. But we have been speaking about the tabernacle right throughout this week, particularly on the outside. This afternoon we spoke about these beautiful boards, 48 of them all together in the tabernacle. Give you an idea of the size, they were some 17 foot 6 inches high. So it was a very large structure. But in our speaking concerning the outer parts of the tabernacle with the coverings and the curtains, we deliberately omitted speaking about the door or the gate. It is an interchangeable word. Sometimes it's called door, sometimes it is called gate. Because we wanted to leave that for tonight, because it is a lovely gospel picture. In the Bible, someone has described the Bible as a great picture book. And in the Bible, there are many, many pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New. You will find him away back in Exodus chapter 12 as the Lamb. And you remember John in chapter 1 of his Gospel. He could say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." Then he is described as the bread that came down from heaven. Those of us that are saved tonight in this company, we do know that the bread of heaven can satisfy the heart of the sinner. Could I say to young folk in this gathering tonight, not saved, that there's nothing else in this world will satisfy you, only the bread from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we sing, "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee." Now I know what I'm talking about, because as a young fellow of 17, I had tried the word. I've often said, thank God I never went down the dirty side of the broad road to hell. But nevertheless, I was a sinner. I was born that way. And so were you, for that matter. And I had tried the world and its pleasures, but you know, all the time, there was an aching void in here. The world can never satisfy. But I well remember that Monday morning, and it's over 50 years ago, when as a lad of 17, I realized for the first time that Christ died on the cross for sinners. I realized that he died for me, and I personally accepted him as my Savior. That brought joy and peace and satisfaction, something that the world can never give. You talk to young folk that you know that are saved, and they will bear out just what I've told you. And so, as we think of these beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus, I think that one of the most beautiful of them all is a portrait of Christ as the door. We get portraits of Christ as the door right from the book of Genesis through to the book of the Revelation. Again and again, we see him pictured for us as the door. You know, the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 10, he said this. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now you might say, well, what does that word saved mean? Well, dear friend, you and I were born sinners. And as sinners, we are lost to God. There's no approach to God. There's no communication with God. But the Lord Jesus at Calvary died, shed his precious blood. that I might be from that lost condition and placed in a saved and a safe condition. That I might know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God. And so, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus said, He said, I am the door. There's only one entrance to heaven. There's only one way of knowing my sins forgiven. And that way is through the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I am the door, the only door. And you know, sometimes we sing the words, Christ is the door to heaven for all who seek through its salvation. The rich, the poor, the great, the small, of every tribe and nation. And my dear friend, let me tell you tonight, with God's book open before me, and I'll be glad to talk to you about this afterwards, if you so desire, that the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. It is not religion. And I'm not going to pick out one religion above another. It's not, my dear friend, with turning over a new leaf. That's not the door to heaven. You might be dead sincere tonight. You might have a real desire tonight to please God, to do good works and such like. But dear friend, that's not the door to heaven. I remember a number of years ago, with some friends, we were in Montreal, and they took us to see a beautiful religious building. I understand there were 300 steps up to that building. It was a beautiful structure. It was a cold winter's day that we were there. And as we stood, we noticed a dear lady. And she was going up those steps on her knees. As she reached a step, she would reverently lift her hands and say a prayer. Then she would go to another step, and that would be repeated. And my dear friend, as I looked at that dear lady, my heart was sad. Oh, she was dead sincere. She was trying to work her way to heaven, to please God. I don't know if she ever made the 300 steps or not. But even if she had, she would not have been one step nearer heaven. I'm sure tonight as I look over this audience, there is not a soul, but when life is past, you want to walk the golden streets of heaven. You want to know then that all is well for eternity. My dear friend, there's only one way. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the door to heaven for all who seek through its salvation, the rich, the poor, the great, the small, of every tribe and nation. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And he said again, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And oh, we are praying in this gathering tonight that there might be a young man or a young lady, and realizing you are a sinner, and realizing, friend, your need of salvation ever to be in heaven, that tonight in simplicity you will come to the one who said, I am the door. But I want tonight to look at four doors. I want you to think of an illustrated door. I want you, my dear friend, to think tonight of a warning door. I want you to think of an invitation door. And then towards the end of my little message, I want to turn the picture round. And I want to think of your heart as the door. And I want you to hear tonight the Lord Jesus knocking and asking for admittance. And so I turn your attention again to this model of the tabernacle. And I want you to see, my dear friend, there at the front of this model, that door, and you will notice that it is of blue and purple and scarlet, and it's on a background of fine twined linen. And I want you to think that that door or that gate speaks to us of the person of the Lord Jesus. There was no entrance into the tabernacle. There was no approach. The walls were over 8 feet high. There was no approach inside, other than by the gate. I like to think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John held up that beautiful gate. That is the four Gospels. And as we read them one by one, dear friend, we see there a beautiful portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would believe that John would hold up the blue of that beautiful gate, because it was, remember, blue and purple and scarlet. And those three colors are always in that order. Blue always comes first, reminding us that the baby in the manger was God's eternal Son. So John would hold up to us the blue of that beautiful gate, reminding us that the Son of Mary was none other than the eternal Son of God. That baby in Mary's arms, God manifest in flesh. And so John would hold up the blue of that lovely gate, telling us who he was, absolute deity. Matthew would hold up the purple of that gate, blue and purple and scarlet. Matthew would hold up the purple, reminding us that the Lord Jesus not only was absolute and perfect humanity, but reminding us that he was born King of the Jews. Over in Guelph, Ontario, where I live, in our bookcase, we have a book, and it is a book concerning Prince Charles's little boy. And you know, the title of that book is this, Born to be King. And we like to read the royalty books, don't we? But oh, my dear friend, we present to you tonight not one who was born to be king, but was born King of the Jews. And so we read the words of the wise men as they came looking for the Lord Jesus. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? But my dear friend, I want you to think that Luke would hold up the scarlet part of that door. The scarlet tells me of blood. It tells me of suffering. It leads me to Calvary. There on Calvary's cross, I see the Lord Jesus dying, shedding his precious blood. We sometimes sing, see from his hands, his feet, his side, sorrow and love flow mingled there. My dear friend, yonder at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood. But mark, if we had time to go into Mark's Gospel, we could show you how Mark holds up the fine twined linen, the beautiful character of the Lord Jesus. Because please remember, dear friend, the one that we would want to present to you tonight as Savior was one who was absolutely perfect and pure. He was God's eternal Son. But I want to leave that. And I want you to think with me where we read tonight in Luke chapter 30. Because there we have the door, not now an illustrative door. A door is a picture of Christ. But I want you to think of the door as a warning from Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. And then he said this, as we read in Luke chapter 13, he said, strive to enter in. He said, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. My dear friend, we believe that one of these days the Lord Jesus is coming back again. The Word of God makes this abundantly clear. There is not a verse in God's book to be fulfilled concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus to the air. Only his actual coming. And we believe with all our hearts that before the hand of the clock would reach 9 o'clock this evening, or 8:30 for that matter, we believe that the Lord Jesus could burst the clouds. And every saved person in this gathering, every saved person worldwide, in a moment would rise. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? I can remember, as a little fellow, well, not so very little, I was maybe 12, 13, coming home from school. I would come to the door and I would knock. If I didn't hear my mother's footsteps immediately on the passageway coming to open the door, I would knock again, and then maybe again. And then when she would come to the door, she would scold me and she would say, son, have you no patience? Can't you wait until I open the door? But I wouldn't have told her what was wrong, you know. If I hadn't heard my mother's footsteps on the first knock, Jesus has come. And you know, one of these days that will happen. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, then ye also shall come and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But oh, dear friend, then it will be too late. And the Lord Jesus says tonight into this gospel meeting, he says, strive to enter in. energize. Put your best foot forward. Let nothing hold you back. Strive to enter in. He says, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. I think of Judas. You remember the story of Judas. Judas sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas lost his opportunity. I think of the 5 virgins, and the Lord came unexpectedly, and the door was shut. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise got busy and got inside. The 5 foolish were left outside for the awful judgment of God. Tonight the words of the Lord Jesus, they would come down through the years into the heart of an individual tonight, right now. Listen to the words. Many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Tonight, you could enter in. The door is open. The Lord Jesus Christ has not yet come. And tonight you could enter in. You could go to sleep tonight, knowing that all was well for eternity, that you were saved. About 18 months ago, a very dear young friend of ours was killed. His name was Scott. Scott was in and out of our home very often, he and the young lady he was keeping company with. I would have been conducting their wedding this year. But one morning in the early hours of the morning, going to work, Scott, somehow or other, he tumbled his car over. We don't know how it happened. But Scott, like that, was launched into eternity. I had the sad job of conducting that funeral service. I never saw a funeral service with so many tears, including myself. At the close of that service, a young fellow came to me. Tears were running down his cheeks. He said, Mr. Noble, no, I should have told you this. I pointed to the closed casket. And I said, there are relatives of Scott's here in this funeral parlor. If you're not saved, you'll never see Scott again. And then I closed the service. This young man came to me, the tears running down his cheeks. He said, Mr. Noble, I'm Scott's cousin. This young man was 19. I said to him, I said, son, do you know Scott's Savior? He said, no, sir. We chatted for a few minutes. That was 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. 6 o'clock, I was in a friend's home and the phone rang. And it was to tell us that that young man had been launched into God's eternity. He was on his motorbike,
train was coming, he tried to beat the train at the railroad crossing. I was speaking to the young man at 3. At 6, he was in Eternity. At 3 o'clock, he had told me, not saved. I would believe tonight in this gospel meeting that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking. I believe there are young men and young women in this company now, and you well know that you should be saved. But you think there's plenty of time. And you know, if I could get a little peep at God's book, God's record book, if I could see the day when you are going to slip into eternity, oh my dear friend, I might throw discretion to the wind and hold on to you and plead with you to trust Christ. I may be speaking to someone in this company now. Oh, friend, let it sink in. You've heard it many times. I may be speaking to someone in this company tonight. And you're in your last gospel meeting. You're nearing eternity. I want you to think with me of the invitation door. The Lord Jesus, and again I quote from John chapter 10. He said, I am the door, by me, if any man. And I want you to think of that as the universality of the gospel. If any man. Then, my dear friend, I love the words, entering. There is the individuality of the gospel. The gospel is unto all. Every person in this company tonight, the message is for you. But may God grant there will be an individual here and here and here in this gospel gathering. And you will make it personal. You will enter in. The door is open. Some of these days, my dear friend, that door is going to close. But tonight, thank God, it's still open. You can enter in tonight. You can be gloriously saved. The Lord Jesus said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And my dear friend, that brings me to my last scripture that we read with you in Revelation chapter 3. The picture has changed. It's not now Christ as the door, but it's the sinner's heart that is the door. You are the door tonight. My dear friend, we sometimes sing the words of the hymn writer, at the heart's door the Savior's knocking. And I believe he's knocking tonight. I believe, dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God is pleading with individuals tonight. At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, fast barred by sin, don't you hear him gently knocking? Draw the bolt and let him in. And now in Revelation 3:20, the Lord Jesus is outside and he's knocking. Says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Could I ask you tonight, young man, young lady, older friend, not saved, have you heard the knock of the nail-pierced hand? Have you? What a solemn thing. What a blessed thing. What a serious thing to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus calling, to hear Him knocking at the heart's door. Still, to keep Him outside. I can remember in the West Indies a number of years ago, we had a dear lady, she was a nurse. She was in the assembly yonder in the gospel hall. She had a husband who wasn't saved. Very nice gentleman, but he wasn't saved. And I can remember one night, oh, it was the early hours of the morning, there was a knock at our door. And this dear lady, she said, "Mr. Noble, could you come quick?" She said, "My husband's very ill. My wife and I went down to the little home where they live. Her husband had taken a severe stroke. I sat by his side during the hours of that night and into the morning, and as we would say in the West Indies, he began to catch himself. And eventually he was able to speak, and he said to me, he said, 'Mr. Noble, if the Lord spurs me, I'll get saved.' I knew the Lord had been speaking to this man. The Lord did spare him. We saw him come back to the meetings. We saw him listen to the gospel message. And then we watched that man go further and further and further and further away until he had no time for the gospel. And again, in the early hours of the morning, there was a knock at our door. And again, the dear lady was there. And again, she said, 'Can you come quickly?' And again, we went to their little home down the street. But this time, dear friend, it was to see a still form, just with a sheet drawn up over. He that being often reproved. Now, Luke, this is for somebody in this meeting tonight. I don't know who. But there's somebody in this meeting now, and the Holy Spirit of God has arrested you. I feel that with all my heart. And I believe this verse of Scripture is for you tonight. Proverbs 27:1, "He that being often reproved," God speaking that means, "hardeneth his neck, suddenly destroyed." Oh, dear friend, the awful danger of saying no to the Spirit of God and going out into the night being lost. He or she being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, suddenly destroyed. God says, no remedy. Now then, Lord Jesus is standing outside and he's knocking. Sometimes, to illustrate this point, I would look at it like this. There are three bars on the heart's door. Three bars. Bar number one says this. I should let him in. Would you draw that bar? Would you? And I believe there's not a soul in this company tonight, but you would draw that bar. I should let him in. What's bar number two? Bar number two is, I will let him in. And then you would say, but not tonight. Oh, you would draw that bar. You intend to let him in. You would intend to open your heart's door to the Savior. I will let him in. Not just now. Then there is a third bar. And friend, if you are prepared to pull bar number three, God knows you might never have another opportunity to pull the bar. If you pull bar number three, your heart's door will open and Christ will come in. What is it? I will let him in now. Will you? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, under no circumstances, will I cast him out. My friend, Christ is the door. He invites you to come to himself tonight. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And as we switch the picture around, your heart's the door, and Christ is knocking. Oh, we are praying that ere you sleep this evening, you will let the Savior in. May God grant it for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come now at the close of another gospel meeting. And Father, we thank thee for that blessed one who could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. O Lord, we pray tonight that there might be that young man, that young woman, still outside, exposed to danger, realizing that the door soon is going to close, that there will be a hurry, be in a hurry to get in, yes, even tonight. We would ask, Father, that thou would bless thy word. Give us the great joy tonight in seeing a precious soul or more than one. Trust in the Savior. And this we ask in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing, friends, the words of number 132. 132. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, whilst it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, now come. There's a Savior now waiting for thee, with his heart and his arms open wide. Will you come and from judgment be free, through the Lamb who on Calvary died? 132, and we'll sing the three verses, and then our meeting is over. If there is an anxious soul in this meeting and you would like to be saved, please remember we are your servants for Christ's sake. We would be glad to sit beside you with an open Bible and show you simply God's way of salvation. 132, and we'll sing the three verses.